Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The text this morning is a portion of the Holy Gospel. Specifically this morning, we're going to hear Jesus talk to us from verses 2 through 9 of the 10th chapter of the Gospel according to St. Mark. And our theme this morning, God's gift of marriage and children. Please be seated. Dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, do you want to hear the devil's greatest lie? Well, all you have to do is turn on television. It's all over the TV, be it daytime or after school or even prime time, even on those so-called family channels. You'll see a celebration of same-sex marriage. And the supposed right that a man and a woman can live together, yes, outside of the bonds of holy matrimony. You see, they haven't learned this from Christian parents. They have learned this from the world. On newscast and on public television, there's this theory that we all are familiar with. It's called the theory of evolution. But on PBS especially, it's taken and taught as rock-solid evidence. A rock-solid fact that we were not created by God. Oh yes, many shows have in their cast of characters the token Christian. And this Christian, this man or this woman, is always portrayed as an enlightened bigot, as a hypocrite, or a boob who has all kinds of horrible skeletons hiding in his or her closet. Yet the greatest of all lies that your children hear today, moms and dads, is that the world is filling their heads with the fact that they can be anything that they wish because, after all, they are their own God. Your children are being taught in school and in various other places like television that they exist to serve themselves, that they can find happiness however they wish, and with whomever they wish, whenever they wish to do it. You see, it's no matter the circumstance. It's no matter if they don't obey God's word or not, because after all, there is no God, because you are God. Lie after wretched lie. You see, my dear friends, Satan has had thousands of years to proclaim these lies. And it all started in the Garden of Eden when he came to the man and the woman, and there he proclaimed a lie and it was believed. And therefore Satan has brought sin and death into the world. So this morning we see a group of Pharisees coming up to Jesus to test him. You would think they would know better. But Jesus takes them back, not back to Deuteronomy. Jesus takes them back to the Garden of Eden. For there in the Garden of Eden, dear friend, there the truth is found. God's truth in a world full of devilish lies is found in one place only, in His written word, in the word that He proclaimed from the very beginning. While the world looks and hears for other gods and listens to other gospels, you are here today being led by the Holy Spirit to hear the gospel, to hear the truth of God's word, to hear the truth of God's gift of marriage and children. In the Israel of Jesus' day, the devil's lies concerning love and marriage were very, very evident. Divorce, if you didn't know, isn't a new thing. And it was just as rampant then as it is today. Not only amongst the Gentiles, which we would expect, but it was rampant amongst the Jews themselves. The spiritually blind Pharisees, you see, they had their own teachings. Two different schools. One was very lax with marriage, and the other was very strict with marriage. So therefore, these Pharisees thought, we'll test Jesus, and he'll have to line up with one of those camps, and when he does, then we've got him. So they ask him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? If Jesus said that divorce was permissible, they could accuse him of being soft on marriage. If Jesus said that divorce was not permitted, then they'd ridicule him. For Moses, yes, the great Moses, permitted divorce. You can read about this in Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 1 through 4. But you see, the Pharisees are stuck on the law. But Jesus takes the Pharisees back to the gospel, back to where God instituted marriage. You see, Jesus, as he had a habit of doing, he stepped right into their trap in order to dismantle their trap from the inside out. Jesus said, it was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote you this law. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. They are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate. I venture to say that there are three couples here that remember those words quite well. For you see, once again, even here in the 21st century, Jesus is turning his glaring light of truth back on to the truth of his word. He's turning that glaring light of truth onto these sinful human beings we call Pharisees. And yes, even the modern day Pharisees of today. What does Jesus say? Jesus says it was hardened, sinful hearts is why Moses caved and permitted divorce. But Moses only allowed it, dear friends, because the alternative was much, much worse. It was common. It was common amongst the Jews and also the Gentiles that women were perpetual victims of adultery, abuse, and abandonment. In other words, Moses wrote this decree as the lesser of even greater evils. But you must understand this, dear friends. Jesus Christ is not telling us that divorce is permitted in all cases. No, Jesus is saying that divorce is never pleasing in God's sight because it was not part of his original plan. Jesus has read it for us. He just read it for us there in Genesis chapter 2. God abhors divorce because it is a tearing apart of what God has made. A young man and a young woman, when they hear these words that Jesus just read, happened here not long ago, it is God who joins them together and they become one flesh. See, they're no longer two, but they are one flesh. So Jesus takes us and them back to the creation account. And we hear that God is very clear what he thinks about marriage. You see, there is a God-ordered process. And when we don't follow that process, it sets us up for failure. And what's the process? A young man or a woman will leave her father and his mother, and they will be united. They will become one flesh. They will be married. And then they will become one flesh. They will consummate their marriage. That is God's divine order. And whether you like it or not, that is what God tells us his order is in marriage. The world tells us something different, I know. But on the great last day, you won't be standing before the world. You'll be standing before a holy and just God. And if you have taken advantage of marriage, if you have said that marriage isn't what God has ordained, then you will be judged. You see, God is very clear that a man or a woman will cleave to her husband. As a matter of fact, this Hebrew word means that they will be yoked together. They will be, as these two little examples are, they will be glued together forever. And only in marriage, and in marriage alone, does a man and woman become one flesh. They are to never, ever be separated, ever, ever again. Yet the Pharisees, the world, and neither can any of us refute what God has said. We try, but it will never work because God's word will always stand. Yes, God is never, ever pleased with the willful breaking of the sixth commandment, or the seventh commandment, or the eighth commandment, or the ninth commandment, or all the commandments. God is never, ever pleased when a man and woman live together outside of the bonds of holy matrimony. God is never, ever pleased with divorce. Yet we hear that God has permitted divorce when staying in the marriage would cause more harm, especially to the woman, especially to his dear Eve, whom he took from Adam and intricately built into a woman. You see, God has done this. Ladies, you are built by your Creator. You are intricately designed to reflect your husband. And husbands, we are to respect that. We are to love that which God has given to you. And yes, wives, you have already heard, because God has done this great work, as the husband loves you, you are to respect your husband. In adultery and abandonment, though, in abuse, ultimately, what happens to the one? Well, the world and hardened, sinful hearts separate them. And once again, they become two flesh. What God has joined together is one. Man separates and they become two again. Not what God ordained. Not what God commanded. You see, in the day when Jesus was living, there in Israel and also in the Gentile nations, when a woman was divorced by her husband for any reason at all, as a matter of fact, the Jewish man could divorce his wife for absolutely any reason. She woke up one day and he didn't like her hairstyle. He could divorce her, but just by writing a writ of divorce, having two witnesses, it was done. You see, if that happened in those days, it meant certain destruction for that young woman. She literally, ladies, she literally lived in hell here on earth. That's not God's plan. That's not what God commanded us in His Word. Adultery, abandonment, and divorce, yes, takes place because of sinful human beings who have turned their heart, have hardened their heart against what God's will is and against His holy will. These three happen. Adultery, abandonment, and abuse, or divorce. These three happen because people think that they know better than God. And since they know better than God, they can just ignore His word. In other words, what Jesus has said, they just don't care. That's a hardened heart. Dearly beloved, here at Zion, we are not immune to the devil's lies about love and marriage. Divorce among Christians, whether you knew this or not, is nearly as rampant as it is amongst non-Christians. Divorce occurs even in the congregation of believers. And the reason is no different. It's no different than what Jesus has just told us. The hard heart. The selfish, sinful ideas that either the husband or the wife know better than God, and then they willfully ignore God's commands and His will and His word. Instead of repenting and seeking repentance from their husband or from their wife, then before their pastor. Instead of seeking repentance and then hearing that their sins are forgiven, A marriage can be saved if it's based upon God's word. But in this day and age, that's not the thing to do, because marriage isn't based nowadays on God's word. Today, most people get married because they are compatible. Again, that's not God's command. The young couple who was married here just recently, they heard that they are to remain faithful. They are to live a life of fidelity. The world doesn't understand this or believe it. But here in the church, that's God's command. Now you may think that the rest of the text doesn't really apply to divorce and marriage when Jesus begins speaking about children. Oh, but you'd be oh so wrong. For your dear friends, you and I know oh so well that in divorce, who really suffers? The children. Children often think that they're the reason for mom and dad breaking up. And then they do drastic things to themselves because of the great pain and anguish that they are in. But Jesus tells us this morning, he tells us that we are to bring the children unto him and to forbid them not. We are not to neglect or take lightly children, and specifically the baptism of children and the baptism of infants. By the way, dear friends, it should not be a surprise to you that that's how children are brought to Jesus there at the font, holy baptism. God also gives us other avenues to follow, like the avenues of Christian education, like Sunday school, adult Bible class, and home devotions. Roads, avenues, if you will, that are little traveled sometimes, if traveled at all. Yet who are we? Who are we to highly offend Jesus by preventing little children from coming to him? Where he promises to be. He promises to be in his word. And he promises to be in his sacrament. My dear friends, please, please don't understand me. It is not a sin in and of itself not to attend Sunday school or to attend adult Bible class. But the point is this. You and your children benefit from being in Sunday school or adult Bible class. You benefit from hearing God's word explained to you, broken down to the finest nth degree, even from infancy, and remaining for your entire life. The word will work in you. It will constantly lead you to come to this place and to partake of his means of grace. Finally, my dear friends, I would be remiss on this LWML Sunday if I didn't apply this text to our ladies of LWML. And yes, this text can apply. And as you look at the front of your bulletin, there in the front of your bulletin, you will see some very important words. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God. Look at the birds of the air. Your heavenly Father knows their needs and yours. And this is the value of LWML. Women who join together in the body of Christ to proclaim to a lost and dying world the truth of God's word. Women who seek his kingdom by doing that which God has commanded. To proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. To serve their neighbors around the world via mission. As RLWML continues to do. Not only with the Kenyan mission, which you've read about in the bulletin. But also with these wonderful backpacks you see here. The school mission. Ladies of Zion. I ask that you prayerfully consider being involved in LWML as you seek first his kingdom, the kingdom of God. My dear friends, lastly, please hear the blessed gospel of our Lord Jesus. For I know this text is full of law, but there is gospel here present. For you, Jesus has instituted the sacrament of holy baptism as a lavish washing away of sin in the name of the Holy Triune God. It happens for infants. It happens for young adults. It happens for older adults. For you today, Jesus is present to serve you His body and blood for the forgiveness of all your sin. Therefore, dearly loved ones of Christ Jesus, resist the devil. Stop listening to his lies and the lies of this world. Repent. Yes, repent of your sin. Desire to be married. Repent of your sin. And obey what Jesus has commanded. And then your life will be oh so much more comfortable, so much more pleasing, blessed by Jesus. For you today, Jesus has defeated the effects of sin, death, and the devil. For you, God has given you a gift, the gift of marriage, the gift of children, the gift of His only begotten Son. And in His willingness to go to His cross for each and every one of you, He has given you the gift of the forgiveness of all your sins. Thanks be to Jesus. Thanks be to God for the gift of marriage and children. Amen.